Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, it is the 2021 debut. We've arrived, flipped the calendar, we're on to a new year, and we've got PGA Tour golf back. We're in paradise discussing Hawaii, our resolutions both in life and golf, and a whole lot more. Plus, this week's guest is a pro hockey player. First pro hockey player we've had on the podcast, Kelly Babstock, talking about her pond hockey tournament she played in with the Barstool folks, her relationship with Barstool CEO Erica Narnidi, her pro career right now, the bubble for women's hockey and her golf game as well. Plus, we finish with some football thoughts, January diet plans, and more. And all of it is brought to you by our friends at Active Body. And I'm talking about Active Body specifically this week, Mike, because it's that time. It's first week in January. This is when people make the resolutions to maybe
start the routine strong,
do a little something better for themselves. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. And that's exactly why we love bringing up the Active 5 unit. We got them sent to us and we just can't believe how easy they are, because the workouts are built right into an app you can download on your phone for free. They're 5 to 10 minute workouts. They're incredibly quick and easy. You'll appreciate this, Mike. They actually have some new like holiday themed workouts as well that are a little bit longer, different stress levels depending on what you're looking to get out of your exercise each day. Again, 5 to 10 minutes. It's not a big commitment with the Active 5 unit from Active Body, and our promo code is COL to get 20% off the Active 5. Again, promo code COL at activebody.com.
And welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, we made it. It's a new year. We're here.
You're here. I'm here. Thankfully, the people that we know and love that are closest to us are here as well, too. So congrats on that. A cheers to throwing 2020 out the window. And like I said, the calendar has been flipped. So like I was trying to do in the year in recap, I'm trying to harness that positivity as we head into 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, we want to be optimistic about this year, but we need to remember that there are still a lot of things that from last year that are lingering, namely the pandemic.
Oh, we still got to clean things up. There's no doubt about that. So I think the first few months, let's all just agree, are we're going to be doing a little cleanup work, just like you do when you come back into the office on a Monday or Tuesday after a weekend off or something like that, or some time away, which a lot of people are experiencing now. Just doing a little cleanup work to start 2021, and we'll get the rest of the year, hopefully, to do all the fun, loving, enjoyable things with crowds of other people that we can do if we do it right to start the year. So, cheers to the rest of this year being much better than the last.
Let's talk about what we think this year will hold for us and what we want to do over the course of the year. Alex, what are your thoughts for the year? What do you resolve to do this year?
Yes, I know you're not huge on resolutions. I had to kind of pry these out of you a little bit.
I mean, why do I need to wait for the new year to do things?
That's a fair angle. If you're of the camp of you want to make changes throughout the year and you don't necessarily need to pin one on starting January 1st, amen to that. So the bottom line is, for people who are flipping the calendar, just looking to make some sort of change or just get something going to shake up the mojo a little bit, because everyone kind of had a weird year last year, to start out on the right foot is something that I'm going to do more virtually now. Is I'm really going to lean. I was hesitant to do it for a while because I'm just not a big FaceTime person. I'm not a big video call person in general. I prefer text conversations. I'm okay with phone. I'm okay, with talking in those different forms like that. But I'm going to just small talk the hell out of people in 2021. I really realized how much I miss just simple combos about anything with friends and family and people in my life. So I'm going to make an effort first virtually, and then hopefully by the end of the year in person, to just really enjoy those small conversations, small talk.
Honestly, Alex, that hurts. That hurts me personally. I feel like that's an attack on our weekly conversations here.
Yeah, you're my therapist, essentially, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not doing a great job.
We'll get into the fact that I'm your bookie and you're my therapist. It's a wonderful relationship we have going here on the Course of Life. But that small talk is really for the people who have just, I kind of lost connection with my, you know, my local social circle, you know, the friends of friends and the family members who you don't get to see in those giant family gathering formats that we missed last year. So small talking the hell out of people is my mini resolution in 2021. But what about you kind of life-wise?
I think the big one is to build upon, I feel like, my success in making healthier eating choices in 2020. I want to build upon that. So I have rejoined, because years ago I used to be a member, Weight Watchers, and the wife has re-upped as well for herself. So we are committing to losing weight for this year.
Look at
so
you guys. Gonna, so wait, don't they have some sort of like point system based on what you eat during the course of a day and a week and a month?
You can eat whatever you want. You can have an apple, which is 0 points, or you can have a Big Mac, which is 50 points.
Love that.
And okay, you only get like, I get like 32 points a day. Plus you get some extra points to spend during the course of the week. So you can go over a little bit.
So a Big Mac, you have to fast for a day and a half, essentially, if you make that decision?
Well, no. You just only eat apples and carrots and cucumbers and celery. So, you know, you make your choices and you live with it. So, you know, you make your bed, you get to sleep in it.
I appreciate that.
What other analogy would you like me to do?
good life resolution indeed as we head into the new year. And just in terms of, I wanted to touch on maybe a golf resolution as well, too. Mm. I know one thing that I'm needing to do, which is a bit long overdue, and I think I've even said it in past years in this podcast, but 2021 is the year that I am actually going to go and pay the money for a person at a golf club to look at my swing and give me a formal golf lesson. Tell me what I need to change. Tell me everything I'm doing wrong. I'm all ears. This is the year I'm finally going to get an actual formalized set of lessons.
I feel like you said that last year.
I think I did. Yeah, that's why I mentioned it as the precursor, because I think we're 2 years running on that resolution. So if anyone wants to rewind the tape, they're more than welcome to call me out. I'm saying it for real now.
Last year's resolutions, I think we can all say, are given a free pass.
Oh, we do get a hall pass? Okay, thanks.
For me personally, for playing golf in general, or just my golf resolution, would be just to play monthly. I just want to play more. I think playing this much this year was really great for my game, and I just need to have more consistency. In fact, I'm going to be playing on Thursday. I'm going to be playing my first round of the year coming up.
Getting the January round in. That's how you start. If you want to play monthly, you can't play monthly.
It's great living in the South. You know, there's some perks to living down here, you know.
Good stuff. All right. Exciting resolutions setting the table there for 2021. Indeed. Love it.
And there is one more that I'm finally going to start doing, Alex.
Oh, is there? Oh, surprise. Okay.
I'm going to make you my bookie. I'm going to give you money. I'm going to tell you who to put it on. And I'm going to be joining you when you make picks every week for the PGA Tour.
That's right. Thank you for the reminder. I'm officially turning you into a degenerate $1 at a time. That's very exciting news for everyone who's on here. You hear see my picks on Twitter weekly, and now I get to throw you into the fire with me a little bit too.
I don't have a lot of vices, so you know, what's one more?
You don't actually. You have a remarkably small list of vices compared to the average human being. So shout out to you for accomplishing that at this age. So yeah, let's throw a small one in. We're not going to go crazy, but we're going to get some winners this year. I'm trying to see if I can match that unbelievable 8 winners I got on the PGA Tour on the 2020 calendar year. It's going to be a hard feat, but if I get on one of those streaks like I did last summer with a couple of majors as well, too, there's no telling how much money we could be taking home at the end of 2021. So cheers to that.
Yeah, and it gets to start in Hawaii, a land of occasional vices. But a beautiful, beautiful sandy beaches and volcanoes and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, shout out
to kind of like everyone's there, right? Champions Tour is there, PGA Tour is there. Everyone's in Hawaii.
I was just going to say, shout out to the families that got out there early. I saw Tony Finau playing with his son last weekend in Hawaii, and a lot of the families are getting early trips in, getting out there and doing some surfing, hitting up the resorts and whatnot. It's pretty quiet out there on Hawaii. We've had some great past guests from Hawaii as well, too, if you want to take a listen to our archives as well. You remember Sean Lanyi, who's been on some different golf broadcasts of ours as well, too. Great instructor who spends part of his time out in Hawaii. And our recent guest, Mike, Chef Noah Hester, another great Hawaiian who just freaking loves down on the island. Every time I check his Instagram, it's either just an unbelievably scrumptious meal he's put together or just a backdrop of a beach and palm trees. So whatever he's doing it right, like I've said before. So some great Hawaiian guests that we've had on past episodes Now we're looking to get a lot of those vibes here the next few weeks in professional golf.
So this first week is the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. Who do you like? Can you give us a podcast exclusive pick here to start 2021 out?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to do the full list on Twitter at Course of Life One, and I'll clue you in there Wednesday afternoon so we know who we're riding with, and you can get your selections into me Wednesday evening before we get going Thursday here. But obviously, it's super hard to look away from DJ this week. I'm not going to give that out as my podcast exclusive pick, though. That's a guy who's going to be on the list regardless. My podcast exclusive pick, though, is a guy who was won here a couple of years ago for me. I had him. His name is Xander Schauffele. He's been playing very well recently. He loves this course. He succeeded at Kapalua. He's going to be back in the mix again. He's already there early this week, working out some kinks from his putting. He is a big fan of the greens. He shot a million under par in his victory there 2 years ago. I believe it was start of the 2019 tournament there. So Xander Schauffele, one of my picks this week at the Century. And a slightly expanded field too, Mike. I don't know if you saw this. There's typically about 20-something, 30 people in the field, but due to the COVID exemptions, they decided to let a few more people in. So I think it's about 42 golfers that we're going to have for this first tournament of 2021.
In other words, this is a tournament of champions and not quite champions.
Yes, right? Winners and guys who played well too, and guys who had a lot of good finishes as well too. But there are guys like a Tiger Woods and a Brooks Koepka who did not qualify for these exemptions. So if you didn't win a tournament on tour, you got in for doing something really good that wasn't winning. So shout out to the guys that made it over. Like I said, this is just the beginning. We've got that Champions Tour event in a couple weeks. We've got the Sony Open at Wailea next week. So we're getting all the Aloha vibes now. We're getting the Hawaii music on Golf Channel. I love the cutaway shots to the surfers and the boat lifers just enjoying life on the big islands. It's winter in a lot of places in the United States, so it's nice to kind of sit by the warm fire and enjoy some Hawaiian golf coverage on TV.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's a vibe.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yep.
And we will finally be able to talk about a tournament again next week.
We're
and
back.
We will have it. Well, it's back to normal. Quote unquote normal. Yes,
we're getting
quote,
there. Quote, unquote. Mm-hmm.
Let's pivot over to Tuned In, where we talk about what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. What you watching there, Alex?
One newbie show that just premiered after football this past weekend. We'll get into our football thoughts later, but they threw a debut sitcom on called Call Me Cat on Fox. Stars Mayim Bialik, who you know played Amy on The Big Bang Theory. Who's Sheldon. She's great in her own right. It's interesting, though. They did a little camera technique, which I know you'll appreciate, which I hadn't seen in a long time. They do like the little like Zach Morris Saved by the Bell, like turn away, like side narration mid scene. So like Mayim Bialik will just be in scene and then all of a sudden turn to the side and say something to the camera as if no one else in the scene can see
little,
can hear it.
Little fourth wall break.
There it is. Yeah. Fourth wall break. I knew you'd have the lingo for that. So it's an interesting look. Mm-hmm. The show, I think they need to work out a little few more kinks. I need to watch a few more episodes to get my full review, but Call Me Cat was something I just peeped for the debut watchers out there. And then in terms of a farewell, Mike, I'm tuned into these final Jeopardy episodes featuring the late great Alex Trebek hosting. Well, you and I are broadcasters. We appreciate the art of a great host, and Trebek is just one of a kind. He's been in our lives forever, so he's definitely going to be missed.
Certainly one of the best, and you know, we knew it was coming, but still heart-wrenching news to see no longer have him. So
he had some very heartfelt messages to start the episode today, and be tuned into last week for sure.
As for me, what I'm tuning into is what's happening on Tuesday this week, the day this episode drops. That is the Georgia runoff election for control of the U.S. Senate. I'm ready for my cell phone to stop buzzing with texts from people I don't know, asking me if I'm voting or how I or when I'm voting or whatever. I voted like 2 weeks ago. I'm ready for this to be over. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk about it next week.
Do they actually cold call dial you still like for your vote, or are they just they're texting and emailing now in 2021?
I don't get as many phone calls, but I do get at least one or two text messages a day. So
wow,
it's and it's just mailings. It's nothing. The mailings are nothing but voter mailings.
The inundation is finally going to come to an end here. You've made it. And so we've got two elections, correct, that are going on right now.
Yeah, you got both Senate seats, and then there's another statewide office up for the grabs. But it's, you know, we just care about the Senate seats. So
exciting stuff. You're tuned into Georgia. Love it. We'll get to runoff results on next week's episode, as we're always tuned into things outside of the world of sports.
Let's get to this week's guest, Alex. It's a pro hockey player. First one we've ever had on the podcast. And what's more important to me than, you know, it's great that she's playing professional hockey. I think this is great. And that she's joining us on the podcast. She's a former Quinnipiac Bobcat, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. And the number, I won't even say it here, the number of points she scored in her career as a Bobcat, it just insane number for the hockey fans out there. Be sure to listen for that. It's in the three digits. So she's a goal scorer for sure. I put some highlights on Instagram. This is a really cool conversation spanning all things hockey going on in the Women's Hockey League and a little bit on her golf game as well.
That's right. That conversation with Kelly Babstock will be coming up in just a moment. But first, as always, I want to let you know that it's going to be brought to you by our friends at Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush. It's an incredible, not your average, so amazing golf brush. And I don't say that lightly, because, you know, there's still not a lot of good sources of water out there. And of course, there's nowhere to scrub your brush. So what are you going to use, Alex? You're going to use the Groovit.
Yeah, you saw the one of the ball washers out on the porch, and it was a weird sight. You were almost confused by it. You took a picture.
I saw several of them actually at a Muni course I went to out here in Savannah a few weeks ago, which was really weird. But I didn't want to use that. I'm going to use the Groovit.
No, it's got a built-in pump.
Yeah. Got a built-in pump, spray water, cleaning solution right on your club face. It's got detachable magnets, so you can just pop it off the bag and take it with you, so you can clean it really easy. Instead of having to bring the club to the bag, you bring the brush to the club. And it's got a 3-year bristle guarantee. Alex, do you think you can wear out your brush in 3 years?
No, I mean, I play a lot and practice a lot too. It's pretty dang hard to do it when you see how durable this thing is. It's a great product.
If you do, you'll get a free replacement in those first 3 years. Love it's it. Incredible reliability. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control that Clean Grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groovit, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So check out grooveitbrush.com and get the Groovit brush today.
Next up, originally from Canada, we've got a former Quinnipiac Bobcat who is now a professional hockey player in the NWHL. It is Kelly Babstock joining the Course of Life. Kelly, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing here?
Very good. Thanks for hopping on. Love the Bobcats and Bobkitties uniting. Good to have you on the Course of Life. First off, when we're airing this right now, it's the first week of the new year. So officially, Happy New Year. I guess I want to get a quick 2020 recap from you. It was a crazy year for a lot of people, but how was the year for you? And if anything, like, how much hockey did you get to play?
The year, obviously it was a weird year, but I thought it was a good one. A lot of character building and a lot of time to focus on what I love most, and that's hockey. And, you know, I've been training pretty much every day and playing, being on the ice every day. I also coach hockey here in Connecticut, and yeah, life's good playing hockey.
Nice. Who are the who do you coach? Is this kids? What age are they?
Yeah, I coach youth hockey, about U8, U10, and then, you know, I run my own hockey development business. So, you know, I coach groups with like prep and and below. So it's a lot of hockey going on and a lot of coaching.
Nice.
Little ages.
This has been in your blood, though. You've been doing it forever. I mean, let's just take us back to the beginning for you and how things started for you. What was literally like the first time you touched a stick and a puck and got to play hockey as a kid?
Growing up, I grew up in Mississauga, which is 15 minutes from Toronto. And we always had an outdoor rink in the backyard. So I guess my first time was on the ice was probably maybe 2 years old.
Wow.
I just go home for lunch all the time and just be ripping around on the ice for lunch, inside, and yeah, that's pretty much it. And the rest is history.
Nice. Take us through a step in your career, which a lot of people aren't super familiar with, which is kind of the junior circuit. Just kind of explain how that all works and kind of how you developed into the player that you are today and that path, because the idea of kind of the junior leagues is a little bit different for a lot of the American sports audience who's not used to seeing that path. But explain what that was like for you growing up.
Yeah, growing up in Canada, there's a junior women's hockey league, and in America, mostly you would go to prep school. So growing up, I played on the junior Toronto Arrows in grade 10. So it was all the kids up to grade 12, and my team was pretty. We were great. A lot of the gals, we went D1, so I'd be playing against the girls when I was at Quinnipiac. Everyone had at least one teammate back in the day in junior. So, just like going, playing on that team and getting noticed by college scouts through the showcases, and that's how I got to Quinnipiac. And, it's pretty much it.
Nice. So, and let's get to the school that you and I both went to. It was a funny story that happened a couple months ago when our now former president actually mispronounced the school name that you and I went to, Quinnipiac. He said it like kind of like Quinnipiac. I'm curious, when you first heard the school, had you heard of Quinnipiac ever before growing up in juniors at all? Or was it on your radar when you were kind of getting recruited? What was that process like for you?
So I didn't really know about Quinnipiac until, just getting recruitment letters. It was the first campus I went on, and it was it's so beautiful. It was like, I loved it, and I'm half Native American, Ojibwe, so it's a Native American school, so I was all pumped about that. And the fact that hockey over there, is just building the program, and our rink is sick, one of the best in the nation, right? So there's no doubt of why I go to Quinnipiac.
Absolutely.
Before, no, I did not know in Canada, but it's the best. It's a great gem, and it's only getting better, right?
Yeah, and Quinnipiac is hitting that Canada pipeline right now for all the best hockey talent, especially with players like yourself. So we're definitely taking advantage of that talent pool. And for people who don't know, the campus is beautiful. It sits on a mountain. And then the actual stadium where Kelly got to play, there's a hockey, basketball, dual stadium. I worked for the basketball team in college, so I got to see it almost every day during the winter season. And it's a great environment for college athletes, especially in the winter sports too. So you're not selling it short. It's the bank, and it's an awesome place. Tell me about some of your highlights at playing at the bank and best memories you had in Hamden playing as a Quinnipiac Bobcat.
There's so many. Just playing in that rink is the best ice. It's the best ice I've ever stepped on. So, just like being treated how we were, help the program get better. So it was the little details, and Coach B is unreal, the strength conditioning coach. He's like no other, and that's really important in creating that culture. So just being a part of that culture, just wanting to get better every day, and we're all a team, so putting yourself in front of other ones, that was great.
Definitely.
And all those life experiences, but just goes to show how great the program has gotten. Now they're top 8 in the nation. So, every moment was great. So,
yeah.
Being a part of that culture was probably my number one.
Yep, and you were a huge part of it. Don't sell yourself short. Over 200 points as a Bobcat, which is just a crazy number of offensive production for anyone who knows hockey at all. So that was a really impressive career that kind of helped launch your professional career here now. So let's just kind of set the stage. Tell everyone kind of what the women's professional hockey stage looks like right now. Because from what I understand, looking outside in, there's a couple of different leagues currently, and what's your experience with the different leagues?
Right, so there's a National Women's Hockey League, which is one league, and then you have the Pro Women's Hockey Player Association, which is an association. So they don't have a season; they just have they're an association. So it's really the NWHL, and the NWHL, we're gonna have a 2-week bubble in Lake Placid, and it will be on CBC Sports.
That's awesome.
January 21st to the February 6th. So it's going to be huge. So we've got six teams in the NWHL, and yeah, it's going to be a great one. It'll be on the TV. So hope you guys can, you'll check it out there. So
definitely in Lake Placid, pretty iconic hockey venue too. Nice location picked for that bubble. When's that going to be happening? When are you heading up there?
We're heading out January 20th. Game starts the 21st. So until February 6th. So it's going to be 2 weeks, 10 games.
Very cool. And in terms of you being in the NWHL right now, what kind of went into your decision to make the shift to the NWHL? I know, you know, it sounds like you can take your talents wherever you want in terms of women's professional hockey, but what kind of helped you make that decision to go to the NWHL permanently?
The NWHL started in 2015, the year after I graduated Quinnipiac. I played in the NWHL for 4 years. I took the year off last year. Mm-hmm. And then I came back this season, and now on the Metropolitan Riveters, and I'm fired up about it. To play for a trophy, you know, there's nothing better than camaraderie and fighting for something. So that's what I missed, and I'm pumped to get after it.
Awesome. Love that answer. Again, professional hockey player Kelly Babstock joining us. Let's talk about a really cool relationship you formed with another woman who is big into hockey as of recently, and that is actually Erica Nardini, who people know as the CEO of Barstool Sports. Really powerful woman in sports media. She's an absolute badass. I'm curious, how did you first kind of get in contact with her or meet Erica?
Yeah, Erica just wanted to learn how to play hockey. So she came to the rink, and I'm a hockey coach. So, I'm just like saying, yo, what's up? got a new hockey mom in the house. I like to fire everyone up. And, she started learning how to skate. And then, I helped her coach her a little bit. And then, we started just playing hockey and, one of our friends, pickup skates, and, she's awesome. She's a good friend, and she's fired up about the NWHL season. So it's just great to have that support.
Nice. I know there was some talk. You appeared on her Token CEO podcast, which is a great listen as well, too. And she threw some rumors out there, potentially liking to own a team. Has she owned a team yet? Is she on that, or what's the status there?
She doesn't own a team yet. But she definitely loves and is fired up about women, supporting women. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But we know she's fired up for the Riveters.
Okay, nice. Well, hopefully you're the first signee if she eventually does pick up one of her own. I love that relationship.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be great? And then the one other thing we got to touch on is part of that relationship with Barstool is I saw you actually got to play in their Barstool Pond Hockey Tournament. Set that scene for people who haven't seen a lot of pond hockey before but know the game itself. What's it like playing on the pond versus normal ice?
Yeah, pond hockey is unreal. You're outdoors, there's probably like eight rinks out there, especially in the Barstool pond hockey tournament. There's like eight ponds. At the end of the day, it kind of gets choppy. So it's actually kind of harder to play, which makes it more fun in a way. But the score can go up, up to like 17. You get ripped off a couple times, but because of the wind blowing away the tarps, but maybe next year there'll be digital boards because that has happened there. But it's great. It could get really cold, but highly recommend anyone to get out there.
What was that?
Freeze down there.
That was new. Was that New Hampshire that was played in, or where was that specifically?
So there was two. Yeah, there was two. There was one in New Hampshire, and then there was one in Canada, in Muskoka Woods, which is 2 hours north of Toronto. But that was the week before. February last year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice. Well, glad we got that event in and hope to see it back maybe next year or in the years to come because it was a really cool one. Nice stuff. So yeah, let's just quickly talk about the plans. I was going to ask about your schedule, but it sounds like you got the bubble heading your way in a few weeks. So we've seen a lot of athletes now in the past years kind of document their trips to bubbles for various professional sports. What's it looking like for you? What are you packing? Like, what are the main forms of entertainment you're bringing? Do you know kind of exactly where you're staying at this point?
Yeah, we're going to be staying right in Lake Placid, right down the street. Yeah, definitely going to be, the bubble will definitely be, you know, I'll definitely be posting out about the bubble online. So
yes.
All my social media.
Thank you.
Instagram. Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, everyone's pumped. It's a great thing for huge for women's hockey, you know, that we can get through this and have it broadcasted on TV. So let's go. And yeah, it's going to be a honey badger out there and we'll see if we can get that cup.
Nice. Good stuff. And I like that you guys have the broadcast deal that you have as well, too. That's a very important piece of the puzzle to get your viewers and eyeballs that you need. Let's get into some quick shots here as we wrap things up with you, Kelly Babstock. One thing I got to shout out is that at heart, we do like to talk a lot of golf on this podcast. I grew up playing in the Northeast and I played on the golf team in high school with a lot of guys who were on the hockey team who also played golf.
Right.
Have you ever picked up a club or have you played a lot of any golf in your day?
Yeah, I'm a rookie, not gonna lie, but I've gotten better. Went out a couple times. I can hit the ball, but it's tough, but it's getting easier as we get more reps in. Are you good?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing my whole life, but I still got a lot of work to do. Let's put it that way. I'm far from a pro, so
I'm still gotta get better every day.
It's a lifelong quest to get better every day on the golf course. But I'm wondering because I always saw it. The guys who played on the golf team with me in high school who played hockey as well, they had a slap shot style swing and they hit a hard line drive that went far. Do you think there's some kind of correlation and comparison between the slap shot and the golf swing a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. The contact, definitely. But you got to use your hips. I know if you use like an actual slap shot movement, you're probably going to miss the ball. But like the way you hit the contact with the club and the hockey puck with the hockey stick, it's so similar. So I think so. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah, I've seen a lot of proof to believe it. I just wanted to ask a professional.
The technique is the hips like guiding where you're going, you know?
Nice. Well, if we get to spring or summer and you get out on the golf course, be sure to post some swing videos so the internet can roast you and have a field day, you know?
Perfect. I will. Nice. Assessment. Is this gal good? I don't know.
That's right.
Questionable. Depends on the day.
Let's talk about the number 8. What's the significance of that? I've heard you're big on the number 8.
Yeah. I know. I've been 8 for a decade. I had it once before college, but I chose number 8. My favorite player is Ovechkin. And I like the number 8 and it fires me up. And I guess I'm born in August, so that's the 8th month. We'll say that too.
Yeah, that works a couple ways. Nice.
But Ovechkin's my favorite, so yeah, I just chose it.
Good. Shout out to Ovi, a legend in the game. And then the final question we want to ask Callie is our 19th hole question. So I usually phrase this in terms of golf, but for you, I'll say it's maybe at post game or after a long day of training. What is like your go-to, like if you had to pick a meal and like a drink of choice at the end of the day and you could just pick one thing, what would it be?
One thing, like ultimate meal.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it depends on the day here, but I don't know. I guess a long training day, I guess pasta, salad, and some bread. I don't know. And a glass of red wine, I'd say.
Yeah. That's a pretty well rounded answer. Nice job.
And
there.
Some veggies, sauteed veggies. Oh, let's go.
There you go. Nice. Sounds like a feast. I love it. Again, it's Kelly Babstock, professional women's hockey player in the NWHL. Looking forward to seeing you in the bubble. We'll follow the action there. And keep posting on social and thanks for joining.
Very good. Thank you so much for having me.
That interview with Kelly Babstock is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind phone holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. So, Alex, what you need to do in 2021 is resolve to get all of your friends to play to get a phone caddy. Yes. So their phone is safe and not rattling around with balls and towels and tees.
Fair enough. I got it for a family member of mine. My stepdad's enjoying it now. It's extremely convenient. Anyone can put it together. It takes about 5 to 10 seconds to throw on your golf cart before the round.
I feel like at about 8 of those seconds is getting it from the bag over to the post, and then 2 of those seconds is attaching it to the post.
It's that easy. Yeah,
it really is. It's so easy. And then you have your phone there. You can check your calls, your DMs, your Twitter, your Instagram. You can take Instagram photos from there.
Yes.
Everything you want to do.
I've watched live golf on my phone caddy while golfing. How about that for a thought?
That's almost a paradox. It's not. But it's almost a paradox. So we love our phone caddies, and you can get 20% off your phone caddy with the promo code Course of Life. You can get 20% off all their phone caddies, including their Patriotic line, typically excluded from any deal. So again, that's use promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com to get 20% off your phone caddy. Again, that's promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com. And we're back. Great chat there with Kelly. Man, 203 career points. Hands down, the Quinnipiac women's all-time leader.
Yeah, by miles, too. You even popped in and looked that up because you were kind of wondering about that stat. You're like, wait a second.
Can we also point out she's also number one all-time in Quinnipiac women's ice hockey history in assists with 108 and with goals with 95.
Love it. Yeah. That gets you 203. Unbelievable stuff from Kelly Babstock. And like the reminiscing of playing on York Hill, you know, you and I spent many a days and game nights there. So it was good to connect with a former Bobcat as well, too. And again, the bubble is going to be on TV for the NWHL and the Isabel Cup playoff. That's going to be in February. And they're actually going to put the semifinals and finals on NBC Sports Network. So that's going to be on major cable television. So looking forward to seeing her in action on national TV come February. In the bubble.
Love it. And if you love that conversation with Kelly, plus everything else we do here, we'd really appreciate you giving us a rating. You know, 5 stars is great.
Yes, please.
Plus subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Means a lot to us. Lets us know you love us. If you don't love us, well, you know, forget you.
Exactly. It's Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Play, wherever you're listening to right now. We're pretty much everywhere.
Almost, pretty much.
We're getting there.
And if we're not where you're listening to us, then go find us somewhere else. Let's talk college football, Alex. Let's talk about how things went down, because one game was expected. Roll Tide. Yep. One was not.
No, we thought Bama and Clemson would just walk to the national championship. Yeah. Quite the opposite. So, yeah, Ohio State absolutely just took it to the Clemson Tigers. Justin Fields looked more impressive than Trevor Lawrence, who was going to be the number one pick in the draft. I don't think that's going to get swapped in 2 or 3 months' time. I think the Jaguars are still going to pick Lawrence 1 overall, but Fields definitely looking like the number 2 or 3 pick the way he performs. We're going to have Ohio State, Alabama. Oh, my God, two so unfamiliar schools that we've never seen in a championship game. What? I'm acting like this is new, but it's not Bama Clemson, so at least there's that.
At least it's a little different, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's talk about the NFL, because their season, regular season, wrapped up this Sunday. Where do you want to start? How do you want to get me here? Well, what do you want to talk?
I'll lay in flat and I'll bury the lead slightly for you to go in and go crazy. Mm. Patriots season ends at 7-9. They get a snowy win against the Jets. It meant absolutely nothing. All it did was change the fact that they're picking 12th to 15th in the first round of the draft. And the Cam Newton experiment appears to be over. Talk pointing to him not coming back. So good riddance to that. No playoffs. It's a very unfamiliar feeling. But the thing that really blows my mind is that through all of this, Mike, your lowly, disgusting, hated, you know, the admonished New York Giants that we spoke of for the last 4 months, they had a chance to be in the playoffs up to the very last regular season game of the entire year. That was amazing.
Literally to the last quarter of the last game played.
And then do tell our audience who's wondering, well, did the Giants make the playoffs? They won their final game. So like you said last week, surely they're going to get in and be the miracle. Surely,
right? The 6-10 Giants were going to make the playoffs when the Philadelphia Eagles decided to play spoiler and beat the Washington football team, traded away their rookie quarterback or benched their whatever they did with their rookie quarterback, and that, you know, things were going to happen here. But instead, the Philadelphia Eagles decided in the fourth quarter of a 3-point game to put in a third string quarterback to give him snaps in a 3-point beyond meaningful game. This was such a big game in the NFL, the game that the NFL wanted to end the season with. And the Eagles decided to say, you know, we want a better draft.
It just
want a better draft.
It sniffed of sketchiness the moment it happened. Everyone took to Twitter real fast because Jalen Hurts, like you mentioned, was playing really well for the Eagles and has been as the replacement to Carson Wentz. It's a guy who we discussed played at Alabama and Oklahoma. So he's got the credentials to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Didn't have a fantastic night, but nothing crazy, Mike. This was a 3-point game when the Eagles coach made this decision all out of nowhere to put Nate Sudfeld in. Essentially doing sort of a tank, because what this did by them basically kind of laying down and giving the game to the Washington football team is it essentially bumped the Giants out of the playoffs, the arch rival of the Eagles. I mean, they're all rivals in the NFC,
but
this was a very interesting move to watch happen live. You know, the NFL and the commissioner's office can't be thrilled with that decision by Doug Peterson in the fourth.
Well, you know, I understand from what it sounds like came out after the game that this was something that Peterson was planning to do the entire week and that he was going to put this third stringer in there to do things and, you know, get him snaps. Why do you do that in a game, in a 3-point game that you have an opportunity to win? You're going to put in a third string guy, journeyman quarterback, who I'm sorry, he's not going anywhere in the league. No. He's not going to do anything here. So you can, if this was a blowout game, then yeah, go ahead, put him in. This was not a blowout. This was a very close game that you could win, and you need to play to win the game. And I think the Eagles should be penalized for this. I think this was really poor judgment on Peterson's part, and that this team needs to be punished in some way.
I don't know how the hell you go about that, but I'm open to the discussion of it.
You can't throw games, right? You're not allowed to throw games in the NFL, so you're going to get penalized for throwing the game.
It's very, very strange. It's like if you wanted to play Nate Sudfeld, why didn't you just start Nate Sudfeld and have him play the entire game? Then if you really want to lay down right from the beginning and just tell us.
I mean, I think that you have more sense in saying that and saying, hey, I'm going to put in my third string quarterback for the entire game because I want to give him the opportunity. And our season doesn't matter anymore. So if he does great, he's great. But it was bad.
So and that move by Doug Peterson, real head scratcher. Indeed, the Eagles move up their draft position slightly because of that loss. That's what they're going with, Mike. That's what they're rolling with. There's their excuse for why they did that. But nonetheless, that bumped the Giants out of the playoffs, and your miracle run ends in game number 256 of the regular season. Quite an interesting 6-10 run if you're New York Giants this year.
So instead of the 6-10 Giants being in the winning the NFC East, you get the 7-9 Washington football team. So now the NFC East champion gets the joy of losing in the first week of the playoffs.
Oh no, yeah, Washington football team money line, Mike. I am betting the former Redskins hard. I'm on the Alex Smith bandwagon. The miracle, I do believe. Now I'm really just spitefully.
I mean, I will say props to Alex Smith for what he's been able to accomplish. I mean, that is an incredible story. So
yeah, comeback player of the year by a mile. So it's Bucks football team, Bears at Saints. Shout out to the Bears for sneaking in at 8-8, losing their final game of the year and still getting into the playoffs. I love that. That's the magic of the NFC and the Rams and the Seahawks. Mike, let's talk quickly about the AFC. I just want to get quick reaction thoughts. Colts and Bills, the AFC East champions. I still can't believe I'm uttering that. Do the Bills make a run, or is this just a gigantic tease and they're going to get their hearts broken early in the playoffs again?
I think the Bills could go all the way. They are a fantastic football team right now. They've had a long way to build it up, and they got momentum.
Josh Allen's looking great this year, so I like the Bills this weekend too. How about Browns, Steelers? Browns back in the playoffs. What a 2020 result to see Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns back in the postseason playing against the Steelers again. That's just crazy.
I mean, let's just talk about how the Steelers almost choked the season away.
Yeah, they basically have for the last month or two. They're falling on some strange times, but nonetheless, they'll be hosting Cleveland, and then it's Ravens, Titans for the final wild card. We got six wild cards. That's the new format this year. Top seed in each conference got a bye. So we've got six wild card teams playing in each conference. Three games Saturday and Sunday. Should be a fun opening playoff weekend.
So you don't have a horse in this race. Who are you rooting for?
Bandwagon Chicago Bears due to my wife's location. Yeah. So I'm rooting for an 8-8 team that just got crushed by their rival in the final game of the regular season. So
it'll be a great playoff for all of us.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week. We're bear down, indeed. That's my bandwagon team for the week.
Let's talk a little college basketball, shall we?
Yeah. What's the headline you got?
Well, big headline that came out today, Monday, is March Madness. It's back. We're going to have it. Yes. It's been 2 years. Thank it's God. Returning.
That's huge.
It's going to be in a quote unquote bubble in the Indianapolis area.
Yeah. All I heard was the location. So Indianapolis area, that leaves a lot of questions and a lot of vagary there. How are they going to split this all up? Because as you know, there's up to 4 or 5 games going on simultaneously during tournament week and a total of 60 something going on. So they're going to need some venues.
Yeah. I mean, Indianapolis has a plethora of state-of-the-art venues in the area, obviously. And, you know, I think they're not going to have an issue with that. They are supposedly going to be putting two courts into Lucas Oil Stadium there. So they can have two games happening, one right after the other, not simultaneously.
Still love
but one
it.
Right after the other.
Still love it. I like that.
Cool. And they are going to do limited fans, mostly family and friends, I guess, is really all they're going to do.
Cool.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's a bubble city. You know, again, they're still going to be in an urban area where they can, you know, foreseeably get out and do things on their own. But I like the idea that Indianapolis has a lot of hotels, a lot of logistical places that they can stay and venues they can play the games. And maybe you throw each kind of 16-team region, you know, the four regions of the bracket, you throw each one in like a different hotel and kind of mini area and give them two or three courts to play. And that could keep things separated nicely.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We will see what happens as we move forward with it into the new year. But let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, and I don't know how much food it's going to be, but it's brought to you by Restelli's Meats. If you want responsibly sourced meats, individually packaged, shipped directly to you, no grocery store trip, our promo code is GOLF10 for 10% off. Restelli's Meats, RESTELLIS.com. Restelli's Meats. I don't know how much that's going to be because the diet is on. I don't say this very often during the course of the year, but the diet it's on. It's just began today on Monday, January 4th for myself. I did take the grace period of the New Year's weekend to go crazy and binge everything under the sun, but the diet has begun and it's time to clamp down for at least a few weeks, TBD.
Yeah. I started mine on January 1st. I probably should have waited because there still is a lot of candy in this house.
Yes. Yeah.
So there is that problem.
I have a couple more days of chocolates to work through as well, too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and as I said earlier on Weight Watchers, I can only have so many. You can't sit there and go like, oh, I think I'll have 5 pieces of chocolate tonight.
I'll just in honor of you just because.
I appreciate it. And like I said, no more cookies. I'm not baking any more cookies. I'm still baking bread, though. Still doing that.
That sounds amazing because the mainstay of my diet is I'll do a lot and I'll eat a lot. I definitely won't have any soda, but I will not have any bread. It's just the carbs of bread just go straight to my stomach and straight to my face, bloats me like you wouldn't believe. And it hurts, Mike, because I love a sandwich or a baked bread or a burger just as much as the next person. It's going to kill me. Watching me do lettuce wraps at these burger places around Austin, I get the looks and I deserve the looks, honestly. I deserve the looks that I'm getting. I really do.
I respect you for being able to do that, but if I was with you at a restaurant and you ordered a burger wrapped in lettuce, I would have to get up and walk away.
I could picture you just politely getting up and just walking three tables away and just sitting back down. I could totally see you doing that.
I don't know if it'd be polite. I would just get up, not say anything, walk away.
Shout out to the lettuce wrap crew out there holding strong during January. We'll see if I can make it the month without bread. It's a challenge indeed.
Just think of it as a really long Passover.
Yes.
Not that you're Jewish, but just think of it as a really long Passover.
If I were, I could give it that perspective. Love that. Again, that's how we'll wrap this week's episode. We will see you all next week. For Michael, I'm Alex. Everyone have a good week.